Well, if you'll turn now to John chapter 8. Remember, we're going through a series called Who Jesus Says He Is. We're going through the I Am statements of Jesus, and we've dealt with the first two, I Am the Bread of Life. And last week, we talked about I Am the Light of the World. When Jesus said this, the Pharisees said, "Aha, you cannot say that. You're giving your own testimony. Anyone who says anything about themselves needs to have two, at least another witness." So Jesus said, "Well, the Father is my witness. And if you know the Father, truth will set you free." And the Pharisees and Jews there were saying to him, "We don't need to be free." And the tension is escalating here. And as we can see, it comes to really a high point in the passage we're going to be dealing with today. Makes us wonder, have you ever been in a situation where you've been talking to somebody and you can see the conversation is getting tense to the point where it escalates quite high to where you think you may have to leave because it's getting a little bit out of control? Well, that's what happened with Jesus in this passage. He actually needed to leave at a point in the conversation. So let's see what happens. Let's read John chapter 8. Beginning in verse 39. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us with your word. We ask that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, so that we may understand this difficult passage, that we may know what it has to do with us. We ask this help from your Spirit, for we need you now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know how many of you have been watching the Olympics, but My wife and I have, we're saying to each other, what are we going to do? The Olympics are ending. She said, well, we'll have a lot more time on our hands. But some of you have been watching them, and maybe you saw the men's figure skating a couple weeks ago. And you know the name Yevgeny Plushenko, right? He won the silver medal in the men's figure skating competition. And who beat him but the American Evan Lysacek, who won the gold. And a few days later, on Yevgeny's website, there was a picture of him wearing a platinum medal. And some people were wondering, what is going on with this? But we heard some interchanges between, over this second place finish, and he could not bear to hear the fact that Evan Lysacek beat him. And even others, I was reading an article, and another figure skater, Elvis Stoiko, you might remember his name, accused Evan for not being who he was declared to be. He said he thought the third place guy should have got the silver. But this shouldn't really surprise us, right? I mean, we've seen this controversy before. But it's really not the same with Jesus either, is it? Many people can't bear to hear who Jesus says he is. And some even accuse him of being someone else. So I ask the question to you this morning, who do you make Jesus out to be? That's what the Jews asked him. Who do you make yourself out to be in verse 53? So who do you make Jesus out to be? We all have to come to this question. We all have to have an answer. And Jesus tells us here that he is God. Now, this is not one of the typical seven I am statements. And so if you're looking at what are the seven statements, you know, I am the bread of life, the light of the world, and the door, the shepherd, the way, the truth, and the life, the true vine. We could talk about all the seven statements, the resurrection and the life. This one is not usually included. But I thought it was important to spend time on this one. It's worthy of our attention. It's perhaps one of the strongest statements that Jesus says. And so let's look at what he's saying here. First of all, how do we know that Jesus is God? He says he is God. He tells us to keep his word. Well, we know, first of all, he is full of truth. And let's not forget grace as well. Remember John 1:17? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so we have Jesus is embodied in truth. There's grace in him. And sometimes truth is direct, isn't it? Look at the things Jesus says to the Jews here. You seek to kill me. You cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. You are not of God. And he even tells them that they are liars. Now, we wonder, is this in character with Jesus? I mean, Jesus is supposed to be one of grace. Is there grace here? And I would say, yes, there is grace here. First of all, he is still talking with those who want to kill him. He is still sharing the gospel. He has not written them off and said, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. I'm out of here. He's still communicating with them. There's grace there. They're still hearing the gospel, whether they accept it or receive it or not. But why is Jesus being so direct? Why is he doing this? Well, first of all, he knows their bondage. He knows that they are not free. They are saying, we are free. Remember, Jesus said in the last passage, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And here they say, well, we don't need to be free. We're not enslaved. But Jesus is not talking about a physical enslavement. He's talking about their hearts, spiritually. One commentator says they think they are free because of Abraham. In other words, Abraham's our father. We're in the right line. Our heritage is right. So we have salvation. We're in the right nationality. That's kind of like me saying, I'm saved because my dad's a pastor. And you would see how ridiculous that would be. That's not true. But that's kind of what they're saying here. But Jesus even presses them further. He says, you say Abraham's your father, but you're not even acting like Abraham did. Look at verse 40. He says, you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God, but this is not what Abraham did. What is Jesus maybe referring to there? I think what he's referring to is back to when the three strangers visited Abraham in Genesis 18. Remember, they came to him. Some people think of it maybe as a picture of the Trinity. And we know it's the Lord speaking. And what does Abraham do? Does he try to kill them? No, he goes and he gets a goat. Prepare the goat for them. And he tells his servants, quick, we have visitors. Well, we know that the truth is sometimes direct. We also know that the truth exposes the difference between two fathers. Jesus said, God is one father, and the devil is another father. Let's look at these two fathers for a moment here. Look at verse 42. Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me. God's fatherly care is symbolized and focused on the love here that is responding to him because of how he deals with his people. But look at the devil. The devil, it is not love. Instead, it is murder. Verse 44, he was a murderer from the beginning. What is Jesus talking about? Well, some would say he's talking about Cain killing Abel, right? But if we were to focus on one thing, one quality with God and one quality with the devil, Jesus focuses on this. God, with God, there is truth. With the devil, there is lies. These are the things that stick out here. Jesus, as we've already seen, that Jesus is full of truth. Truth brings about hearing, understanding, and faith. But with the devil, he is not only full of lies, he is the father of lies. We could even say that he is the chief liar. We see in verse 44 that he is a liar and he is the father of lies. Jesus also says he has nothing to do with the truth. Verse 44, there is no truth in him. He is a liar. He cannot bear to hear the truth. So we see these two different distinctions, two different camps. There are those who are with God and those who are with the devil. Those who love, who are seeking truth, understanding truth, and those who are lying, who are hearing lies, who are not hearing the truth. Jesus is very direct here. The devil has been lying from the beginning. Do you know the first lie he said? The first lie he spoke was to Eve in the garden, saying, "You will not surely die." Kind of making a question come into her mind. God said, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. You will not surely die. You can hear his lies. One of his great tactics, he takes truth and he twists it. He tells the Jews here, you were born of the right race. You have nothing to worry about. You are set. Don't worry about your life. Don't listen to this lunatic. Look at him. He's declaring these crazy things. But then we see in the Word, which we talked about last week, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of God. We see that happening here with the Jews, and Jesus is speaking so directly into their reality to tell them this, what you are believing, is not right. Well, we all know what this is like. We may have friends, we may have family that are blinded. So do we speak to our friends and family like this? Do we go up to our brother and say, you're of your father, the devil? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? And actually, a lot of people have made the mistake of just bringing down condemnation on others when they have no place to do it. First of all, we know we are not Jesus. We cannot read hearts like he can. And so we need to be careful of what we say. Can we speak directly to people? Yes, we can. But there is a time and a place, and the Bible guides us in how we might do this. Always speak, always with grace, so that you know how you may answer everyone. our hope really is in Jesus here. If we have family and friends, if we know people who are blinded like this, and we've been praying for them, our hope is in Jesus. Why? Because he came to directly confront the father of lies. He gets right in the face of the evil one. And he says, I have come to bring truth. He is exposing the lies that are there. He gets messy with those who need him the most. And he can read hearts. He knows how to speak to hardened people. Now, Jesus does not speak this way to everyone. He speaks very differently to those who are seeking him, to those who are even abused by these Jews, the Pharisees. And so our responsibility is to, yes, speak truth, and we can speak directly, but always in love. If we go to someone and say, you are of the Father, you are of your father, the devil, that really is an accusation that is only for God to bring, not for us. But what do you do when lies and accusations come to you? And again, we turn to Jesus to see what he does. Secondly, first thing we saw, Jesus is full of truth. Secondly, he submits to his Father. Look at this verse 48. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Do you realize what they just did to him? They just insulted him in one of the strongest ways that they possibly could. The Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. And here, these are Jews speaking to Jesus. Jesus was a Jew. They hated each other so much that the Samaritan's country was right in the middle. They would walk all the way around to get to the upper portion, and so they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. It's like if we had to get from here to Burlington, instead of getting on the interstate and going right down to Burlington, we'd go over to New York State, take the ferry over, Grand Isle, go to New York, drive down there, and then take the other ferry over to Burlington. It's crazy, isn't it? But that's how strong this dislike was. It was a hatred. So they are saying to Jesus, are you a Samaritan? In other words, attacking him, saying, you're illegitimate. You're not really a Jew. You don't belong to the right race. We have Abraham, our father. But you're saying all these things. You're not even a Jew. But they go even further. They insult him even further, saying, are we not right in saying that you have a demon? They're assaulting his very nature. Attacking faith. So what does Jesus do? Does he blast them? No, he doesn't. Does he walk away? No, he doesn't. Look at what he does, verse 49. He answers very simply with the truth. I do not have a demon. I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. He speaks directly to them again, saying, you're dishonoring me. I don't have a demon. But what else does he do? He does not seek his own glory. Verse 50, I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. You know, Jesus could have said right there, I can give you 100 reasons right now why I'm not a Samaritan. And how dare you call me a demon? I can give you all kinds of reasons why you have demons. But he doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't feel the need to defend himself. He's not there to seek his own glory. And instead, he is humble. It's been interesting for me to watch some of the Olympics because we see people who compete who are humble and so thankful for getting what they didn't even expect to get a medal. And then there are others who expected to get the medal. I heard one person say, I got what I came for. And it reminded me of how many Olympic athletes, it must be a challenge for them. I don't know what that's like. I'm not an Olympic athlete. But it must be a challenge for them to not bask in the glory. And certainly there's an appropriate response there. But there is a line that crosses where it becomes all about me. I got what I came for. Or you see people who are just devastated, just pounding the ice and in tears because they didn't get what they came for. But Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't get up, down on the ground and throw a fit because they don't honor him. He just speaks truth to them and he leaves it to his Father. My Father will defend me. And he says here in verse 50, he is the judge. It reminds us of the scripture that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. How are we to respond to our enemies? We leave it in God's hands. We do not heap accusations. And so when you are insulted, you all have been insulted, I'm sure. When you are lied to, when you are accused, how do you respond? I've wrongly responded by trying to defend myself. Sometimes there's a place to defend yourself. But how about submitting to our Father? How about having Him as our defender? Psalm 62 says, my salvation and my honor depend on God. So in other words, if someone is coming at you because you're a believer, you don't have to defend yourself. God will defend you. And some of you struggle with lies. This is a lie directly from the father of lies. He's just told them that their father's the devil, and they come out with him, come after him with a lie from the devil, saying he's a Samaritan, attacking his humanness. And some of you struggle with lies from the devil. You may not even realize it, but things that people say to you that really cut to the heart, or maybe your own thoughts, thinking, what a lousy Christian. You're not a Christian. Look at you, what you just did. You just disqualified yourself. You hypocrite. God doesn't love you. He condemns you. These are not from God. These are from the father of lies. And that is where Jesus comes in with his grace and truth, that we need to hear his word. Verse 47, he says, whoever is of God hears the words of God. And so we don't listen to these lies of the devil. And sometimes we listen to them too much, right? And they mull over in our hearts and we start convincing ourselves that maybe that's really true. But Jesus has something else to say. We have a poster at home that says, who I am in Christ at the top. And they give all these scripture references of who we are. I am free from condemnation. I am a son and daughter of Christ. He has paid for me by his blood. And it's good to just go and read those. And I'd encourage you, reading from God's word, remembering the truth of who you are. You are a child of God. If you are in Christ, you have overcome the evil one. Yes, he still attacks, but you are not bound to his slavery anymore. Thirdly, Jesus not only has truth, not only submits to his Father, but he offers eternal life. Look at verse 51. And this really sets them over the top. Truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. How can Jesus do this? The word death here, is the Jews take it literally. They say he's talking about we will never physically die. Abraham physically died. We know he did. But here, a commentator says the death is talking about not being separated from the love of God. Well, how is this? How can Jesus offer this? Well, Jesus would not be able to offer eternal life unless he was God. Because if he was a liar, then this would not be true. And he would actually be of the devil. If he was a lunatic, then he could say, well, I offer eternal life, but never come through with it. But if he is Lord, then this statement is true. If he is God. And we know that Jesus tasted death. He tasted separation from God. He tasted the absence of the love of God so that we would not have to. Hebrews says, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. This is Jesus Christ, tasting death, tasting that separation, the love of God, so that you and I do not have to. This is the gospel, and it's by the grace of God that Jesus took our death, he took our sin upon himself, and gave us his perfect life, so that no wrath and condemnation would come upon us. So that we wouldn't have to die that spiritual death apart from Christ, apart from God. And instead, he was condemned, and we were set free. And finally, we see that Jesus says himself that he is the I Am. Has this ever confused you? It's confused me for a long time. But I think that there we can see some clarity here. If we back up to verse 56, Jesus is talking about Abraham. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Well, if that's not confusing to you, then you think clearly. Because that would be confusing to almost anybody. He's saying, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. Well, and they say, well, how could Abraham have seen your day? He died so many years ago. You're not even 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham, they say. But Jesus said he saw it and was glad. What's he talking about? Well, Jesus is not being literal here. One commentator says the word rejoice is the same word as laughs. This is a huge connection. Because back in Genesis 17, when God told Abraham that he was going to have his own son, remember Abraham was 100 years old? God said, you're going to have a son. Abraham laughed. Am I to have a son? He was 100 years old, and Sarah, my wife, was 90. She's going to bear a son now? Remember God in Genesis 18, the visitors came and they told Abraham, you're going to have a son. And in the tent, Sarah, what did she do? She laughed. So God said, you shall call his name Isaac. The name Isaac means he laughs. And so if we connect these two words, rejoice, meaning laughs, that there was a sense that Abraham saw not only that this was going to bring Isaac, but that Isaac, who's remembering God's promises, that through your offspring, the whole earth will be blessed. He knew that through Isaac, it was the beginning, and that his descendants one day would bring about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so in that sense, he saw from afar, as some say, the day of Christ. But the Jews did not understand this. And then they said, you have not, how can you even see Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. If you were a Jew listening to this, when he said the words, I am, immediately in your mind would come the passage we just read. Exodus 3:14, where God reveals himself to his people saying, I am who I am. If anyone asks who sends you, tell him, I am has sent me to you. They would know that immediately Jesus is making a connection with God himself, God who calls himself the I am. We see this in other passages that God says, Isaiah 43, I am the Lord. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. Jesus here is making an explicit claim that he is God. I don't know if some of you saw, I've got a lot, I know I'm talking about the Olympics a lot. But Canada, before the Olympics started, Canada, the host country, they had a program called Own the Podium. Did you hear about that? Where they declared, we will own the podium for the most medals. And after about halfway through the games, they conceded. They said, we just can't do it. The U.S., we know, has actually, the U.S. has broken a record for the most medals ever at an Olympics. The second most was at Salt Lake. And so, here they are making a claim. Canada made a claim. We will do this, but what did they have to do? They had to back out. But not so with Jesus. Jesus never makes a claim that he cannot fulfill, that he has to back out of. And here he is making a claim that he is God. He has the Word backing him up, the truth. John 1, he was in the beginning with God. He's saying, I am eternal. Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Revelation 4, 8, we sang it this morning. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Now we can understand why they picked up stones to want to stone him. Because they understood he is saying that he is God. Let's kill him. This is the ultimate blasphemy. And what does Jesus do? Probably as they picked up stones, he turned and he hid himself with the crowds and went out of the temple. So I come back to the question, who do you make Jesus out to be? Do you accuse him? Throw insults at him? He's not really who he says he was. Or do you humble yourself, receive his grace, believe by God's grace, hear him, and keep his word? For Jesus Christ himself is God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And sometimes we don't always understand what he's saying. And Lord, I pray that there are those here who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God himself, that you would open their hearts, their lives, that you would show them the truth, and that that truth would set them free. For Lord, we do not desire to be in bondage to the devil. We do not desire to be about lies, but about truth. And so we thank you for Jesus, who gave his life to free us from lies, to free us to believe in the truth, to believe in him, that he has covered us with his blood. So, Lord, it is in that we desire to live today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.